Just, if you don't mind, I just brought some figures along that I want to collect and ask some things that they should come up economically or things that we...
Okay.
Numbers on things we're trying to do.
Okay, that'll be all about it.
Is that about right for you? Oh, that's right, you're there. Yes. This is this. Okay.
Wire up to West.
Recording story.
Well, first of all, I'd like to talk about the stock. How does this damage the administration's credibility, do you think? Have you measured or evaluated how much harm this has done?
Well, it's happened so recently, I don't know that anyone has. I still feel that that it shouldn't. We still believe in this plan, and very frankly, while that article used a few quotes from his, I think that the real cynicism and the guts in the plan were written by the author and his interpretation.
Nonetheless, there were some very damaging statements in which he said we weren't sure just what the numbers we were using or what we were doing. He admitted that the numbers were put together very hastily, and he had a lot of his own insecurities about whether or not the program is working. Do you think that was harmful?
Well,
your chief budget director says that.
No, not really. When you understand, see, no one has asked about the whole. How this came about. Now, here were two old friends that have been meeting and debating their philosophical viewpoints for years, not in agreement with each other, but both respecting each other's opinions. And one of them was under the impression that, not for quote or attribution, he was simply filling in the whole history of how an economic program came about that would then subsequently be written as an article, and as I say, not for quotation without permission and not for attribution. So I suppose, being old friends, that they back and forth discussed, and if sometime he'd had a bad experience on the Hill with somebody wanting something back in the program, he would discuss this. Some of those quotes also were not accompanied by the questions and the conversation that led up to them.
Mm-hmm. Did they were taken out of context?
Yes. Well, not only out of context, but the interpretation of them. As, for example, did Dave Stockman first use the term trickle-down, or was trickle-down used by the questioner?
Yeah. What is Stockman's future? Do you still have confidence in him?
Yes. And I still believe that he believes in our program.
But obviously the numbers didn't add up. I mean, the cuts were too small. The revenue economic projections were too rosy. We see this with the out years and the large deficits. How did that happen?
Well, a number of things have happened. If you go clear back to long before there was a Dave Stockman, when in the campaign in September, in Chicago, I outlined what our economic proposal was going to be. I collected. This was what we were going to do. Between September and inauguration, the decline in the economy was so great that our figures were changed. What I had said in September would not work on January 20th. Now, some things happened that could not be foreseen, and if you stop to think, when you get down to like talking 1984, you were talking about the possibility of a $4 trillion gross national product. A 1% error is $40 billion. Now, someone can be 99% right at $40 billion off, one way or the other. If you're going to be off, it's far better to be off on the dangerous side than off on the optimistic side. The things that have happened to us, and we were aware of this, and I'll get back figures, both of revenue and of outcome. One added percentage point of unemployment amounts to about $25 billion added to the deficit. In the loss of revenue from the people not working, plus the added outgo to provide them with what they must have to live. So we knew the deficits were going to be bigger. But now get back to the program. Everyone seems to overlook that, number one, we did not get, happy as we were to get, the biggest single cut in the history of this country. We still did not get all we asked for by some several billion dollars. $35 billion is what we got. We'd started out asking for about $48. We finally, in the debating and discussion, reduced even that down, but not as low as $35. All right, we got $35. But at the same time, talking about the out years, we always said that there would have to be an additional $70 billion plus in cuts for 83 and 84, and that we would put those together, and then it would be specified later where we would seek those cuts. Now, that has not changed. And so without those, yes, when we said what the deficits could be, they were set on the basis, the recession, on the basis that we would be getting those $70-odd billion in additional cuts in the two off years. Mm-hmm. Now, the program that Pete Domenici, Senator Domenici, has come up with, of combined cuts, and he wants to go revenue increases. We're not too far apart. We agree with him on the cuts. We don't agree on the revenue increases because we believe that most of these people, particularly up on the Hill, who, let's say, have never accepted supply-side economics, are not figuring what they believe or what can happen to the economy. By the same token, that 1% unemployment, if the tax policies stimulate the economy, if you could lower the unemployment rate by one percentage point, you've cut the deficit by $25 billion, and that isn't something that's showing in a budget. These are outside, like management savings. Like the other day when the Secretary of Agriculture handed me a facsimile check for $27 million, which represented savings that just under management practices they've made in both personnel and travel costs. And previous to that, if you'll remember, AID handed me such a facsimile for $28 million. Now, these are management savings that can take place as you go along. And I'm just optimistic enough to believe that there are going to be more of these than people realize. The little episode with the little girl in Iowa the other day. Just think, that one case due to a stupid regulation and the enforcement of it was costing the government $10,000 to $12,000 a month instead of $1,000 a month. Mm-hmm.
Going back to Stalin, nonetheless, the statements that he made, whether or not he believed he was going to be quoted or not in the newspapers, certainly appeared damaging. Senator Baker certainly assessed some damage on the Hill. They're certainly going to come back to optimism in the campaign next year.
There's no question of
what can you say to restore the people's confidence that this program is a right program, that the numbers are basically right and moving in the right direction to counter what Mr. Stockman said.
Well, maybe the actual figures, as we get closer to that time, will provide us with the answer by refuting these chicken littles who think the sky is falling up there. Now, in my quote from your book, I made all my cabinet members read it in the beginning. I believe in what it is that we've proposed. And the strange thing is, now, economists like Walter Heller
this anecdotal dementia as you mentioned and others. Why is this the case? And isn't that where much of this talk is coming from?
Well, I think it's also the other side. They have, and we're being lambasted it for the whole idea of tax cuts. And I can only hark back to John F. Kennedy, who faced the same diatribe from the leadership of his own party, the same people who were talking to us, but in 1962, when he offered the broad tax cuts that he did, he was told that they wouldn't work and it was foolish that with a deficit that you should be talking reducing revenues. Well, reducing rates does not automatically result in reducing revenues. And what happened with his tax cut, refuting even such economists as Walter Hatter and others, who've long time been advisors of the policies we've been following in the past, what happened was a decrease in unemployment. The increase in employment virtually doubled immediately after the debt. The rate of increase in the number of employed virtually doubled after the tax cuts. The gross national product more than doubled. The increase, the rate I should say, not the gross product, doubled. The rate of increase nearly doubled. Personal savings went from about 2.3% of earnings to 8% of earnings. And the government, as a result of all of this, wound up getting more revenues, not the tens of billions of dollars of revenue loss that they had said would happen.
So despite the nervous malaise on Capitol Hill, many of them in your own party,
yeah,
some of them your close allies, who expressed nervousness and doubts to me over Kemp Roth.
Well,
you're still foursquare.
I believe that while economics is a dismal science, it is also one that's the least understood by a great many people and otherwise well-informed people. Let me, by contrast, point out that in these days, when all of this is being written and spoken about, in this office have come, first of all, four very reputable gentlemen who are among our economic advisors, George Shultz, Walter Wriston, Alan Greenspan, Paul McCracken, all of them unanimously coming in to say, hold to the line, go forward, you are on the right track. This was followed by a group that we invited to come in. What did he hear from? 36, I believe, was the number of
the money market man.
Money. These are the money managers. They handle more than $400 billion in investment funds.
I just wrote about that today.
Well, they feel the same way.
Well, Senator Baker said to you that Stockman has suffered damage on the Hill and that appearances before Congress should be curtailed.
Oh, I think that he's going to have some problems of that kind. But on the other hand, I think as we continue forward with this, we're going to have the answer.
Is his visibility going to be lower? Because of this?
No,
it's tough to go to work on the budget committee and make arguments behind this after.
Well, we'll just have to face that and see what happens.
Are you going to veto the continuing resolution?
Well, I have a rule that never...
Break it.
No, I've had it for 8 years as governor. I will discuss things in general, like vetoing budget-busting bills, but I have always said I will never specify until it's on my desk whether I will veto or sign, because something that up before the Congress might look like an orange turns out to be an apple, and I'll wait till it's there on the desk.
Well, of course, you made it clear that you intend to use the veto. However, it appears that very likely that no appropriation bill is going to reach your desk at least this year, and the only way to keep the government funded, of course, is through the continuing resolution. Is this, of course, when you get in that situation, that's a gun to the head, because you're talking about one bill running into the entire government.
And it is very complicated. It is very complicated to veto a continuing resolution, because you literally do shut the government off. On the other hand, about time the people of this country recognized that we have had no budget for all of 1981. I don't know of a time when this country went through a year without a budget. It's all been continuing resolutions. And we have now, we're into the second month of this fiscal year, and we're still operating on continuing resolutions. Now, this can be used as a device to prevent us from controlling the budget or prevent us from having some control to reduce spending, because if they send you a continuing resolution for a certain period of time and it is proportionately above what the budgeted amount would be, I don't know how you police a government under those circumstances.
They're also using the higher figures, I understand, on the continuing resolution.
Let me say how, while it is difficult and complex, I'm not going to rule it out, but I would hope that they will get to appropriation bills. And
doesn't appear they're going to. In hindsight, look at the budget cut that you did get through. Do you think it should have been twice as large?
Well, if you had to do it again,
would you have made it
twice as large? We didn't ask for that much from 82. As I say, we asked for something in the 40s. But let them know that we would be back for 83 and 84 with those other requests.
Why are you resisting cuts on entitlements? Isn't it true that the only real way to get control of this, obtain the budget, is to cut around entitlement budgets?
These are one of the things that we are going to consider very definitely, but also this could be an answer to the continuing resolutions. And that is to force me to put a cap on spending. A cap that would be, there would be no change in, no increase in the entitlements for the, over the previous year.
Is that something that you are proposing, you're considering making, or is that?
Well, I would hope that it wouldn't become necessary.
But it's a possibility.
Yes, it's someplace we've got to get control of this spending. And this gets back to some of the previous questions you've been asking. Those critics on the other side of the aisle who are belaboring this program and whether it is right and so forth, what have they ever suggested other than going back to the policies that have put us in the position we're in with a $1 trillion debt? What do they know other than deficit spending? What is their alternative to trying to reduce the cost of government and stimulate the economy, which is now lying dead in the water, by the kind of tax cuts that every time in this century that they've been adopted have resulted in a stimulant to the economy? All they've got to offer that I can see is the same old spend all they want to spend with no regard to the revenues. And that if it gets too bad, raise the taxes, but fund the deficits and curb unemployment by flooding the money market with printing press money, which again zooms inflation up. And we've had a roller coaster for the last few decades of this kind of tighten up the money to try and fight inflation, and then when that results in unemployment, zoom the money market up, never mind inflation, to try and stimulate employment.
Well, the Domenici proposal, as you said, he has come forth with some additional increases in taxes. I think his original proposal was about $80 billion. I understand you've whittled that down to about $35 billion. Nonetheless, that's where the push is coming for tax increases in 82 and 83, at least delaying individual tax rate reductions. Can you say now that you're four square opposed to any delay, or rather, any modification of the 3-year tax cut?
It could be possible someplace along the line that you might be forced to accept some tax increases in order to get the cuts that we're trying to get. Not a political reality, but they would have to be cuts that do not in any way take a little longer, but our goal is still to balance that budget.
But going back to what Baker and others have gotten, what is the feedback you've gotten from the Hill on the Stockman interview and whether or not his credibility, the credibility of the economic program has been harmed? What message, what feedback are you getting?
Well, as a matter of fact, Orland Bauer on getting right now is what I read. Maybe others have been conversation with them over the weekend here. Many of them have been home, and I've been home, and so there hasn't been a leadership meeting about it. As a matter of fact, the only leadership meeting was the day that the news had first broken, and Stockman himself took the floor at the beginning of the meeting and spoke to them and was applauded by the Congressional Republican leadership.
What did he indicate to you about his own and what he said?
He told me he tendered his resignation, which I later refused to accept after we talked in the whole story, but he told me that whatever, if it was accepted, he was going to do all he could publicly to refute the charge that was made by the author of the article that he did not have a belief in our system. He was going to do all he could to make the people aware that he believed honestly and that this system would work and that he had never felt otherwise.
Did you consider accepting his resignation at any time?
Not after I heard him out, no.
One final question. The public bickering with your administration's foreign policy apparatus has made people feel a bit counterproductive and embarrassing. What have you done to see that that's going to stop?
Well, as has been stated, I had one meeting here with two individuals, but the thing that's bothering me the most about that is that it's always coming from unnamed sources. And how do you fire an unnamed source? We don't. I don't know who's doing it. I don't know what. And I'm remembering also
this happens at the staff level. Paul and I were talking about this. And you don't get your staff to stop that.
Well, or is it also, as one noted journalist said in an article some time ago, that many times the unnamed source is really the fellow sitting at the typewriter and justifies his story on an unnamed source?
Well, the charge, the accusation came from the Secretary of State that this is being done to him. We know what was being done to him. That's going to stop it.
I think we're trying to make, you know, we've got a great many people here who are inexperienced with government. And I think they're great, and I think they're doing a great job. But what I think we need to make them aware of is that there really is no such thing as off the record in reality, and make them aware that they just have got to keep their mouth shut. And they can't go out and make a casual remark or even a humorous quip at someone else's expense. But
does that,
fact that he moved out of the office knowing someone else was going to occupy the office and left it behind. Now, that's pretty good evidence.
Apparently he went back, though, and used the office.
What?
Apparently he didn't use the office thereafter on other occasions.
I don't know. All I know is that somehow he was left there and was found. But I think also is the story of the gentleman in Japan whose idea it was, and it was stated that it was never solicited, that it was his own idea of what should be done in order to get interviews and so forth as a gift, and that he had originated that idea. No one from this country had ever suggested it to him at all.
Well, many people feel even in times of inflation, it's kind of hard to forget $1,000 check.
Well, it wasn't a check. It was cash.
Cash, will not forgive me.
I don't know whether they didn't.
It's all the more real.
Open the envelope. But, yes, and yet, I know this, that many times now, things are handed to me, not money, but things are handed to me, like a gift or something, very nicely by someone if I'm out at some appearance. And I know that they're immediately taken from my hand when they're presented to me. And sometimes as you then go on and through this and through a day's activities and so forth, weeks will go by and I'll say, hey, did somebody give me something there? What was it? And I've forgotten all about it. It was done.
Thank you, Mr. President. I've enjoyed this.
Well, I have too. Just so it happens that I didn't have to just take their word. I had an experience in Hollywood about it. The man who was in charge of the whole area there retired. And after he retired, he told many of us. It just was shocking to me that he said every year after the collections were in, they'd get a notice from Washington that said, we need X number of millions of dollars more from your district. Go up and get them. And he said, all we could do is just go down the list and start sending people out to deny deductions and so forth. And
well, we'll talk about this in the interview in the next month. Very modest cut in export bank. Plus a handful of very large corporations came back. Congress just got to take it. They got an amendment in and went through. They're going to make that cut. This happens again and again.
Incidentally, one other thing. So-called triple down and so forth. We did not have the 70% to 50% reduction in our program. That was introduced as an amendment by a Democrat. Now, we were reluctant to take it because we believed that that kind of money, freeing that kind of money, would be beneficial from the investment standpoint. But our own reaction was that we as Republicans would be hung out to dry if we suggested such a cut at that level. And the same people that are saying to us, oh,